All right. Well, we're in a sermon series called At the Movies. We're taking a look at some of the more popular movies. I'm going to get these cords out of the way before I trip on them. That have hit the silver screens, and we're talking about some of the spiritual themes within those movies. And as we continue this sermon series, At the Movies, we're going to take a step into the Spider-Verse this morning, which is our key movie as we take another look at a movie this week. So, as I mentioned last week, we do this series most every year, and the reason we do it is because stories are the bearers of really deep truths. And we can use logic, we can use reason to try to understand things at a cerebral level, but there's a deeper truth that goes beyond just what we can comprehend up here. How many know what I'm talking about? There's things that need to be interpreted, things that need to be explained for us in ways that our minds can't quite comprehend it. It's like it's something that we just perceive at a different level. And that's what stories, I think, oftentimes unlock. When it comes to meaning, when it comes to beauty, when it comes to things we're passionate about, when it comes to love, those are things that we have a difficult time communicating through numbers or through facts or through formulas. Those are things that have to be communicated at a different level. If you were to ask me why I love my wife, I most likely wouldn't say to you, well, it's because she has brown hair, it's because she has five fingers on one hand and five on the other. I was about to say five fingers, that would be messed up. 10 toes, it's because she's 5'9". I wouldn't use those kinds of facts and details about my wife to describe my love for her, right? I mean, I would say when she smiles, it's like the sun beat down on the coast in California, which is a line from a country song before you get too far down the road. I would say things like, you know, when she looks at me with her eyes in that kind of way, right? It just melts my heart. It makes me think I can accomplish anything, right? I would describe these kinds of meaningful things through metaphors. But you know, 2 + 2 = 4, but such an equation, such a formula doesn't exist to describe the kinds of things we feel in our hearts. And they're as real as anything on earth, and yet it's a kind of truth that we have to describe and articulate and understand in different ways. And, you know, love is the most powerful force on the earth. We don't have a formula for it. And stories have this unique way of unlocking these deep truths. They're the bearers of these deep truths. They move us, they inspire us, they convict us. Oftentimes they change us. And I think superhero stories are especially powerful. And you'll notice that of the four movies that we chose, three of them are superhero movies. And it's a narrative that's common. It's a narrative that draws us into something that is fundamental about who we are as human beings living in this world. Are we merely descendants from apes? Are we cosmic accidents? Are we flesh and bones, here one age but gone another? Or are we something else, something more? Are we eternal beings? Are we far more powerful, more significant, more capable than we realize, or that science can teach us or reveal to us? Is there more going on here? And superhero movies, they strike a chord deep in our souls. What if you are a miracle? What if I am a miracle? What if there was a meaning to our lives that goes far beyond what we are currently seeing and experiencing? What if you had special powers? What would those powers be? What if you have God-given talents and that when wielded, they will alter the destiny of thousands of lives? I mean, these are superhero stories that we tell. And we scoff and we kind of laugh at that. But what if there's a deeper meaning to what is going on in all of our lives? What if you were bitten by a radioactive spider? Right, and we could take the metaphor a little too far. You know, soon everybody would be showing up to church in capes, and Corbett would be coming to work in tight, skin-tight pants. And so we don't want to take it too far. But the Spider-Verse synopsis is just this. And last week I gave a synopsis of Black Panther this week, the Spider-Verse synopsis is about Miles Morales. And he is a New York teen struggling with school, friends, and on top of that, being the new Spider-Man, because he's just been bitten by a radioactive spider. And when he comes across Peter Parker, the erstwhile savior of New York in the multiverse, Miles must train to become the new protector of his city. All right, so that's the whole movie brought down into one paragraph. I want to show you this morning a scene from the movie that really describes the struggle that Miles Morales is going through, because he's discovered that he is Spider-Man, but now he's got to unpack, okay, well, what does that mean? And he has this role to play in order to save the universe, right? Because the universe is collapsing in on itself and there's all sorts of dimensional issues going on and things I don't understand that nobody understands. And yet, that's the crux of the plot. The world's about to be destroyed by this evil man named Kingpin. And he's got to save the day, and he's got to save the universe. And so he's got these powers and these abilities, but he's just discovered who he really is. And he's not quite sure he has the ability to do all this. It's a lot of pressure for a teenager. And so he's struggling with that as Peter Parker is mentoring him and trying to help him understand what his role is to be in this story that is unfolding in the movie. So go ahead and hit it, Carl. So Miles is struggling to believe, and he has this crisis of faith. And I think that you and I have a similar struggle to really believe all these things that we've been talking about ourselves, who we really are. I love the first installment of a superhero movie because it's the origin story. And the origin story is the best story because it explains how all of this began. It explains the characters' motivations. It explains the struggle that they've been going through and the things that they're dealing with. It helps us understand how this character is navigating these new abilities that they have discovered and trying to understand, you know, what the destiny of all of this is all about. Because it's like, okay, who gets these kinds of powers? It has to be for a specific purpose. It has to be for a reason. And always there's some sort of purpose in it all. There's some sort of significance and meaning behind what is happening to them. And they've obtained special powers. Now, what is required of them in response? And I love what Peter Parker's uncle, the original Spider-Man, says. He says, with great power comes great responsibility. We've all heard that line. It's the superhero line, right? With great power comes great responsibility. That's the origin story. But what about our origin story? What are our lives really all about? What about you and I? Who are we really? The Apostle Paul, he gives a number of different descriptions of this in his various letters to these Christians who have been bit by the proverbial radioactive spider. And he sums it up, and he gives us an understanding of who we are and what we are destined to accomplish. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 2, the particular one I want to go to. And he describes something of this metamorphosis that you and I have gone through. In Ephesians 2, verse 1, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. And then some transformation takes place because of God's grace. And verse 8, he describes, he says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Then it describes the purpose behind all of this. He says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So what do we learn? First of all, we learn that we've been saved by grace. And this is your bit by a radioactive spider moment. All right? Just work with me here. Some of you are like, wait, what are you talking about? When Jesus introduced you to his grace, If you sensed his presence in your life and you responded to the invitation that he gave to you, extended his grace to you, and you received it, that was your moment. You've been saved. And we describe it that way. But saved is kind of retroactive. It's kind of what happened in the past. I think there's another term that the scriptures use that I think really help us define what the vision for our lives is, what the meaning and significance of what has happened to us is really about. And that is this phrase that we use, you've been born again. You've been born again. You are still you. You still have the same history, but you are on a new trajectory. You've woken up to the reality of who you really are. You're out of the matrix now, right? To use that metaphor. You are a child of God. You are involved in something that is so much bigger than yourself. And you have a role to play. There are gifts that God has given you. There are things that he has called you to do. And that as you explore those things, they will become clear to you. And as you learn how to use these talents and abilities, these gifts of God, he is going to unleash you in the world to accomplish the things that he has called you and created you to accomplish. Which leads us to the second part of this description that Paul gives. And he says, you've been created to do good works. And they will likely not be as dramatic as, you know, saving a speeding train from falling off the tracks, or somehow, you know, dealing with a drug lord kingpin who is violently killing everyone in the city. But in real life, they are impactful, the things that God has prepared in advance for you to do. It may be that he has called you to befriend someone who could really use a friend. It could be that God wants to use you as a teacher to inspire young men, to inspire young women to pursue their dreams in their futures. It may be that God wants to use you as a nurse practitioner, as you are helping provide quality care and providing an atmosphere of peace for a patient who is terminal as they pass from this life to the next. It may be that your act of forgiveness will unlock a chain reaction of healing and restoration for an entire community of people. It may be something more like what happens in the real world. It may not be about what you personally accomplish. It may be rather about who you raise that makes your greatest impact on the world. But being created to do good works isn't enough of a storyline to go off of. There's got to be more detail to it. And so the scriptures give us a very clear, very plain narrative. They describe a villain, because every good superhero story has a villain. And the villain that we are introduced to in the scriptures is the devil or Satan. He's actually described in a lot of different ways that would cause us to get the impression that it's a force of evil in the world. He's the father of lies, the accuser, the deceiver, the murderer. Basically, he's evil personified. And people often scoff at Christian characterizations of the devil or Satan. But again, deep down, we all get the sense that there is something wrong in the world. There's something deeply wrong in the world. Why are we so divided and hostile towards one another? Why are we still dealing with racism? Why is inequality still a problem? Why is there so much violence? Why drug use? Why are people so hopeless? Why suicide? When we contemplate all of these issues that are going on in our world that we see every time we turn on the 6 o'clock news, we get the sense that we are up against a force of evil, the evil force that strategically is working against human thriving and seeking to disrupt everything that we pursue in this desire to experience tranquility and heaven. There's always a villain in every good story. Why? Because life has a villain. Because it's true of life. Something is out there trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and it's personified in the greatest stories that we tell, especially these superhero stories. 1 Peter 5:8, I didn't put the scripture up here, but Peter describes the devil, Satan, as a lion who is prowling about looking for someone to devour, because a lion was the worst thing that they could think of back then. And now, what do we describe this as? Thanos, the Green Goblin, Kingpin, right? These are all the new villains that we have in these stories that we tell. And they're communicating something to us about the real world that we experience. There's a force of evil out against us, which is why we have been given these gifts, spiritual gifts. Let's call them powers, just for fun. But they're spiritual gifts. Not only have we've been created to do good works, but we've been given superpowers to accomplish our God-given destinies. All right, let's take a look at a passage of scripture from 1 Peter chapter 4. And Peter is describing exactly what I'm articulating here. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. And it is a great variety. There's a lot of people that have accumulated a list of spiritual gifts. But the truth is, there's no exhaustive list in the Bible. It's a choose your own adventure. There's a lot of gifts out there that God has given to us, spiritually speaking. And a lot of you hold them. You can wield the power of your spiritual gift. But he says this. We've been given these variety of spiritual gifts. And he says, use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. It takes a great deal of faith to believe that this is actually true, that God has given each and every one of us a different gift to use in order to serve each other, in order to overcome the enemy, and in order to usher in the kingdom of God. And the reason I love the origin story of every superhero series is this process that every hero has to go through in order to discover who they really are, right? In order to unpack these new set of skills and gifts that they now have the ability to perform. I remember, for me, as I was just getting started in my early 20s with contemplating and kicking around this idea of being a pastor, and I would get up and I would give a sermon. I was given the opportunity to give a sermon a few times. And as I look back on those moments, I recognized that it was terrible. It was really terrible. But you would never know that because everybody, at least I didn't know that. I was ignorant of the fact that it was terrible because everybody would come up to me and encourage me, right? And say, hey, it was probably terrible in their minds too, but there was something encouraging because they were saying, hey, I see something there, right? When you said this just this kind of a way, or the passion that you expressed when you got on this particular subject, and they start describing to me, you know, some little nugget of, hey, I saw a little spark. I saw something in there that we can work with, right? I think you might have something here. It wasn't apparent and obvious to anyone, right? But people encouraged me, and I had the courage as a result of that to step forward into this gifting that I thought maybe possibly I had. And it was something that didn't happen overnight, right? But it was something I was passionate about, and it was something that clearly I could get up and give a talk and not stumble all over myself. And I was figuring it out along the way. I was navigating all the ins and outs of this gift that I had, and it was something I had to learn. It was something I had to develop. It's something I had to grow in, but it was something that naturally came to me as well. It was something I felt like I'd been prepared and set up to do in my life. It was something I felt called to. And, you know, Miles Morales in this Spider-Verse story, he has some unique capabilities that other Spider-Man characters do not have. He can disappear. He can spider-shock people and paralyze them, which is definitely coming in handy every once in a while. But he's able to disappear. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful, right, if that was on the list of spiritual gifts? Which I guess it might be because there is one gift of miracles. So I mean, I guess anything's possible, right? But there are a number of different spiritual gifts. And again, this isn't an exhaustive list, but maybe this will get us started. And there's the gift of wisdom. There's the gift of knowledge. There's the gift of faith. There's the gift of healing. There's the gift of discernment. There's the gift of miracles. That's the wild card. There's the gift of prophecy. There's the gift of hospitality. There's the gift of leadership. There's all sorts of gifts as described within the scriptures, and there's all sorts of gifts as evidenced in all the people in this room. Have you ever had the sudden realization that you were really good at something? You tried something new for the very first time, and it just came naturally to you. Something clicked, or it excited you. There was this passion for what you were doing that just kind of arose, and you came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm really good at this, or I really love this. And there's something that just clicks. There's something that just happens. It falls into place. You may have the ability to get a group of people moving together on a project. You may have the ability to take complex concepts and break them down into small little steps and pieces that people are able to digest and understand. You may have the ability to inspire people when all hope is lost or they feel that they can't go on. You may be able to detect when a person is up to no good, a very important skill, or seeking to take advantage of people. You may have the ability to speak freely with people and to counsel them, and they come to you in the context of a conversation and they leave thinking, I just was able to talk to this person. I was able to unload on them, and I didn't even come to them seeking knowledge or counsel, and yet I've come away with so much more understanding. Right? You may have one of those abilities. Those are gifts, giftings. And it's important, if we're to believe something of what the scriptures tell us about ourselves, that we would explore our gifts. What are your gifts? What are your superpowers? What are your abilities? Here's some questions that might be helpful in order to help you understand a little bit about who you have been called to be. In what ways do people commend you? What compliments have you received recently? What compliments have you received over and over again? And you just kind of recognize, okay, I must be very good at this, or I must have a natural inclination towards doing this kinds of thing, or I'm particularly passionate about this. What are you passionate about? It's another good question to ask. What piques your interest? What subject comes up that when it arises, all of a sudden you can't shut up about it? You're talking about it over and over again. What issues? What do you talk about all the time? What circumstances come up in your life again and again and again? You're like, wow, is this just, you know, happenstance, or why does this keep coming up? Why does this keep happening to me? All those things can be hints pointing you to the truth that you really are the Spider-Man. And God has called you to something, that He has given you that passion. He's given you that ability. He wants to draw it out of you, and He wants to unleash you in the world. And all this brings me to the most important line in this movie. And as Miles Morales is grappling with all these doubts and desperately trying to find his way in this new calling that he has for his life and find his confidence, he's challenged by the original Peter Parker to take a leap of faith. And that's what he says in this clip that we just watched. That's all it is, Miles. It's a leap of faith. It's true in comic books, it's true in movies, and it's also true in real life. Because if we're to believe that you and I are in a story that means so much more than all that we see, if we are to believe that we have been called, if we're to believe that we have been given gifts, if we are to believe that we have a mission and a purpose in this world that is so much bigger than what we see in the here and now, it takes a leap of faith, right? It takes faith sometimes to believe that we are created for something more. It takes faith to face off against the forces of evil that we are confronted with in this world. It takes faith to believe that we've really been given gifts. It takes faith to believe that we can exercise those gifts and that when we do, we'll make a difference in the world. It takes faith to believe that our story is going to end in something like a happily ever after. It takes a leap of faith. That's what life is. And so the question I want to close with this morning is just, what would it look like for you to take the jump? And what's holding you back from fully embracing your role in the story that God is weaving throughout human history? What do you fear? What do you doubt? What is stealing your self-confidence? I think that even as I came into the sermon, I was thinking, this is either going to be the worst sermon that I could ever possibly speak, or it's going to impact somebody. And I think that the reason for that is because in and of itself, this whole topic is a leap of faith. It's a leap of faith to really, really believe that when you wake up in the morning, you've been called for a higher purpose. Like, I mean, there's something behind what it, I mean, you're a nurse or you know, you're a bus driver, or you're a lawyer, or I don't know what. It takes faith to believe that that's a calling, right? That you're more than just a cog in the wheel. You're not just a hamster running around for no purpose. It takes faith, right? To believe that what I do today matters. How I parent my kids matters. How I coach that little league team matters. It takes faith. And we've got to wake up to that realization each and every morning, because we're faced against all sorts of criticism. We deal with all sorts of doubts. We wonder all the time, is this worth it? Right? Am I really making a difference? All this sacrifice, all this effort, is it really worth it? And we're discouraged, and people criticize us, and we're beat down, and we're tired, and gosh, it takes a leap of faith, right, to believe that each and every day. But I just want to encourage you this morning, even as we're looking at life through this lens of this story, that that's you, that's me, that we have a role to play, we have a part to play, and that what we do matters, and it's a leap of faith. And I want to encourage you, take the plunge. Take the plunge. So if you're beat down, if you're discouraged, if you're frustrated, if you're feeling as though, gosh, I don't know if this is worth it, I just hope that that gets into your spirit this morning. God has called you. You have a purpose. There's meaning and significance to who he has created you to be. And you are exactly where you are supposed to be. And you are who he says you are. And he has called you. And he sent you out. And I want to get you fired up about that. I want you to be inspired this morning about that. So let me pray for you as we close. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. And as we take a look at this topic this morning, as we consider the implications of these stories that we tell in our culture, God, I just pray that we would recognize, Lord, this is one of those situations where it's not a 2+2=4 formula. It's not numbers, it's not facts. It's a truth that is a little more tricky to communicate. And it's a truth that takes faith to believe. And yet, God, those truths sometimes are the deepest truths. Those are the things that move us from death to life. Those are the things that cause us to come alive each and every morning. Those are the things that awaken our passions, that cause us to recognize that life is really beautiful and meaningful. And God, I just pray that we would come alive to that this morning. God, that for those who are just feeling beat down, God, just feeling as though all their efforts are in vain and discouraged, God, I just pray that you would awaken them this morning. You would revive them this morning. God, for those who look out at the world today and they just feel like, oh, there's no hope. There's all these things that are going wrong. And what could I possibly do to change it all? God, we feel so powerless. We feel so small. God, I pray that we would recognize that you have raised an army for this very purpose. God, you've raised up an entire generation for this very purpose. And God, that you are going to weave your story and your outcomes into human history. And you are using us, you are calling us. And God, I just pray that you would awaken us to that truth. Help us see that we have a role to play. We have a part to play. It may be small, but as we work together, God, we accomplish something great for your kingdom. We thank you for that reminder this morning. We thank you for this story, the truest story, the greatest story that's ever been told. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There it is, the leap of faith. As we close, I'd invite our prayer partners to come forward if you would and just be available. If you need prayer for any reason this morning, I just want to invite you to come and receive prayer from these folks. For everybody else, if you want to stand up and greet each other, next week we're going to tackle The Incredibles 2. So join us for that.